This we pray. Amen and amen. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Number 7, I think it is, and the questions that Jesus asked. And I pray tonight that our study that we do before, there's a reason that we do it, will then direct and enhance and drive what you're going to pray for. When we finish the study, we should have at least 30 minutes. What I'd like us to do in that 30 minutes is for 15 of those minutes, the first 15 minutes, is for you to pray alone and to cry out to God for a miracle that you need in your life or the life of someone you know. And then in the last portion of our service, of our time together to pray, I want you to get with one other person and pray together. The Bible says, where two or more agree on any one thing and pray in His name, the Lord will answer. Now you may want to change what you want to pray, or you may want to share what you've prayed already yourself with that other person. That's entirely up to you, depending on the confidentiality that you want to keep. But that's how I want us to be directed tonight as we pray. Luke chapter 8, verse 40, I'm reading from. And so it was, when Jesus returned, he'd been booted out from a part of a country where the people didn't want him to stay. He'd healed a man filled with demons. So he returned and there was a mass of people, a multitude, welcomed him. For they were all waiting for him. So as he hits the shore, there's a huge crowd. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. That's the prayer that we can pray tonight. Not we have someone like Jairus in that aspect. We don't have to have someone dying. Maybe we do. Maybe you do have a person like that tonight. But I want us to elevate our prayers to the impossible. But as Jesus went, the multitudes, the crowd crushed him. It says it thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for over 12 years, note, who had spent all her livelihood, all her money on physicians trying to get healed and could not be healed by any, they had all failed, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, that is his prayer shawl. And immediately her hemorrhaging, her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" That's the question tonight. No one said a word. When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" They're asking him a question. But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling. You can picture her making her way through the crowd, falling down before him. She's on her knees. She declared to him, in the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. She tells the full story. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Note, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." So, picture this scene. Jesus arrives on the shore. Those of you who've been to Galilee know people can travel And as he gets out of the boat and he arrives there at the other side of where he'd been ministering, there's a massive crowd, huge crowd, men, women, and children. A swirling crowd as he walks on the shore and makes his way, they envelop him. They're jostling, they're milling around him. They're all scurrying, trying to hear if he's saying something. There's a great crowd. They're trying to see, to observe this Rabbi Jesus. Maybe some hadn't seen him. They're looking at him. He looks, doesn't look any different. They're talking and they see him. So much had been said about Jesus. And all the things that had been said about him were miracles beyond belief. Fed multitude, raised the dead, healed lepers, speaks with power, talks of love. They'd never heard a man speak like this man. And in the midst of the storm, this gathering of human bodies, this mass of people, Jesus comes to a sudden halt and then turns and cries out, "Who touched me?" Everyone is taken back by what Jesus says. Some are saying, But no one laughed at his statement. No one laughed at him. They loved him far too well to do that. Peter sets it up again for all of us. Peter has to say something. He can't sit there. He's trying. But Peter, that's who Peter is. And he says, "Master, the multitudes, the massive crowd, they're pressing in, touching you, grabbing you, pouring you, everyone's touching you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?' Why do you say that?" Simon is saying aloud what everyone else is thinking. Why did he say that? "Lord, many people have touched you, are touching you, are bumping into you. We're in a massive crowd." But Jesus was not satisfied with Peter's answer. No, he was absolutely serious in his question. "Who touch me?" He said it in such a way that everyone hears what he says. Everyone wants to hang on every word that Jesus says anyway. But Jesus knew something that Peter did not know. He knew that a single individual had touched him in a way that there had been a transference of power, a surge of healing power from himself to that person. So Jesus amazingly repeats his question. But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." So he adds a little bit more. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you'll find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." It's interesting to note how this fits in with the first commandment, doesn't it? "You shall love the Lord your God with all your might, soul, and strength. Jeremiah, the prophet speaking on behalf of God, Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." As we stop there for a moment, draw a line, how much have we not received? How much have we not been able to have explode and empower in our lives because we have been half-hearted in reaching and seeking out Jesus? What things, James says, we have not because we ask not. And James goes on to say, and often when we have been asking, we've been asking amiss. We've been going, "Lord, oh, could you get me this, get me that, get me this, get me that." And the Bible and this story that we see, we need to change the way we pray. We need to elevate how and what we're asking for in prayer. We spend too much time praying as customers, as commuters, instead of praying as children of the Almighty God. Different. This heart, this person who reached out in faith to touch Jesus, made Jesus' heart sing. He says, "Power's gone from me." Who was it that touched Jesus in this way? Well, we're told, firstly, she was a woman with a severe illness. 12 years. She had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. How weak do you think this woman was? Constantly hemorrhaging, day in, day out, 24 hours a day, hemorrhaging without strength, without any stop. She is frail, she is weak, and it's been 12 years. 12 years is a long time to be unwell. We complain when we're sick for a week or 2 weeks or more. It is a longer time when you are losing the battle against it because she's tried everything. But this condition, as a woman, brought with it a baggage that was more than just physical. If you just think it's just about the bleeding, you're missing the picture. She faced a disease that made her ceremonially unclean. It would have secluded her from the privilege of wifehood, unable to be married. Precluded her also from the blessing of motherhood, unable to have a child. And would have precluded her from having anything to do with anything at the temple because she's unclean. She had consulted every doctor available, every specialist. She had spent all of her money. It says all her livelihood. She had spent all of her money doing so, checking with doctors, with no relief, no cure. Imagine the things that she'd tried. Imagine the stuff she'd taken. Imagine the treatments, difficult, unheard of, that she said, "I'll give that a crack." And thus, to the burden of her illness had been added the additional burden now of absolute poverty. She's got nothing. Secondly, She was a woman clinging desperately to life. How long can she live with this hemorrhaging? She was determined not to die until something killed her. She was a fighter. She did not make a tame surrender to her illness and just sit in bed at home. Bible says she tried everything. She'd spent all the money. She'd gone and seen every doctor. This woman had a fighting heart that was determined to live. She wanted to live. How did she touch Jesus? Well, the story is also told in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. And Mark gives us a little bit more information. It says that she heard about this Jesus. Mark 5:27. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." You know, it's interesting, as we look at that, we must tell others about Jesus Christ. Someone had told this woman about Jesus. She hadn't gone there to see a celebrity. She'd gone there to get healed of something that no man, no doctor, no physician on earth was able to do. She had heard, she'd been told about this Jesus, that this Jesus, he does this, he does that, he does this. You know, you and I must. That's why we have on that surfboard when we go out into all the world, we're to preach the gospel. What are we told to do? We're told to preach and teach the things he has taught us. We need to tell our children, so much so that they will want to reach out and touch Jesus because of who we tell them about. We must tell all that we can about Jesus to others so that they, another person, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, member of your family, that they in their deepest valleys will reach out and touch this Jesus that they've heard about from you. But what Jesus are you telling people about? I get really fed up when all people want to talk about is their church. Jesus didn't say, go out into all the world and preach about the church. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news. It's about Jesus Christ. But not only did this woman hear about Jesus, she believed what she heard. As she had listened to others, don't you think her ear was pricked when she heard about, he's healed this man, you know. You know what he did to a leper? You know there were 10 lepers. You know what he did? There was someone dead and he raised them. You know there was a funeral that he went to and he called the person back. My friends heard about it. They were there. And the news traveled. You know, there was a whole swag of people and he had just a few fish and a few loaves of bread and he fed and there was food left over. You see, as she had listened, it reminds me of Rahab. Rahab, when she heard about the God of the Jews who was coming into Jericho and that area, her faith was in the mighty God. She had heard. This woman had listened to others talking about this Jesus, and her hope had grown in her heart, stronger and stronger, driving her to see him, driving her to touch him. Thirdly, having come to believe, she went into action. She said, well, I've heard there's a man, he's over here. That's amazing. If only he could come where I am. No, no money. She's frail. She finds out where he is, and she goes looking for him. She went into action. Faith, listen, faith that is real acts. Don't tell me, as James says, about your faith. Show me. Show me by how you live. Do our prayers and what we pray reflect our faith? Or do they reflect our unbelief? Faith that does not act is not in reality faith at all. Faith that does not act is not in reality faith at all. In spite of a weakness, in spite of the fact that some friends maybe had told her, don't waste your time, you've been to everybody, give up, don't bother going and seeing this Jesus. She set out to get to him, and she set out to touch him. She was going to touch him. No one was going to stop her on this mission. She's a weak, frail lady in a massive crowd, men, women, and children, everyone jostling for positions. And she gets in there. She gets through. This woman also knew how to talk to herself, just like King David did. There's a time in the Bible that talks about you and I, we need to speak to our own selves sometimes. When David was down and his men had turned against him, their wives had been stolen, all their stuff had been stolen, David moved away from the crowd and he said, Saul, why aren't you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. David began to go, what are you down about, man? Pray. And he was telling himself that. You see, what others say to us is often of vast importance. There are words that can weaken and torture us, and there are words that can light a fire in us and strengthen us, and words that can bring healing to gaping wounds like a beautiful ointment. Tonight, what are you habitually saying to yourself? Well, I don't know why I'm coming to pray. I mean, really? Will he change? Will she change? Can God do that? Is it real? Really? What are you habitually saying to yourself? These words will tell you what you are and what you're becoming. For this woman, she was saying, I'm going to get to him, and I'm just going to touch him, and I'm going to be made well. What proof did she have? She'd heard. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Remember the story of the rich farmer. He's there, feet up, looking back, looking at all the money he's got. Says, man, I need to build a bigger barn. I just got so much stuff. And he was looking purely about himself. And Jesus said, you're a fool. You've lived without me. You don't care about me. Tonight your soul is required. You see, the world would have looked at the rich farmer and would have said, what a shrewd man. Look how business savvy he is. He's building another barn. Look how successful he's been. Man, that's just what we need to be. But when Jesus tells us what this rich farmer said to himself, we find out that he's a fool. You see, this woman could have told herself to stop being foolish in her quest. To stop from trying again. The best physicians have failed to help you. But instead she told herself, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. That's what she said to herself. You see, talking to herself, she accomplished her purpose. And what was the result? The Bible says, at once she was healed. This woman was instantly healed by the very power of God when she touched the source of that power. She was conscious of a healing. She knew it happened. Then Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" He asked it twice. Why did he ask that question? It was not because Jesus was seeking information. All right, somebody's touched me. Who was it? Who was it? Who was it? No. He's all-knowing. It was not because he was ignorant regarding this woman. Well, something happened. I need to find out exactly who's touched me and what's happened. It was because he knew that she was ignorant of him. He was not seeking to get her to reveal herself to him. He knew. It was he who was seeking to reveal himself to her. "There's more that I have than just to heal you and stop your blood from flowing." It was her purpose to steal away. "Oh, awesome. I'm well. I'll take off. All of a sudden, who touched me? Uh-oh." She wasn't going to tell anyone. But Jesus had something better for her than that. This is why he asked, "Who touched me?" Now this poor woman would see this man Jesus was indeed more, and he is, he's more than just a healer. He's more than just a healer. Churches come and go, attendances rise and fall when people are looking just for a healer. Jesus didn't die on the cross and say, "I am the healer. That's all I am. I've come to heal you physically. That's all I can do. That's all I'm here for." No. The very reason that the church exists is not to make people happy. It's not to get our lives squared away. All those, the Bible tells us, are good and in and of themselves. Nothing wrong with them. But the reason Jesus came was not just to save us from our sins. It was to reconcile us back to Him. It was to bring us back into a loving relationship that we could be held by our Heavenly Father. And that's why He calls us not just friends. He says, "You're my son, you're my daughter, you're my child. That you may call now me Abba, Abba, Father." You see, Jesus wanted to show this woman he was her Lord. He was her Savior. He was her Messiah. Not just a healer. In verse 48, he said to her, "Daughter," he says, "daughter." Why? Because she is now. "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Why could she go in peace? Because she'd been healed? Mm-mm-mm. She'd been reconciled. She now had been brought back into fellowship with God. No longer lost. Tonight, as we pray, you can touch this same one this blessed woman touched. How, Keith, can I do that? You can touch him personally with your prayers tonight. And by faith, receive the power of God to heal you in your situation. tonight to reach out and touch him. So I want you to come forward, grab a card, say hi to one another as you come out, fellowship. I want you to go back. You can pray for that card, but then I want you to spend 15 minutes, you, on your own. You can stay in the same seat where you are. Pray, but elevate what you're praying. Ask for the impossible tonight. Pray for the impossible.